I have a tattoo of an anchor on my arm. I'm not going to show it to you now. And I know that having a tattoo of an anchor on one's arm is a little bit cliche, but its meaning for me is actually incredibly powerful and timely and profound, and for me a critical reminder of how I want to live out my values. So the anchor happens to be the state symbol for Rhode Island, which you heard where I was born. And besides the anchor being a nod to the maritime heritage of the state, it's accompanied by a bold one-word motto that I think we need these days, which is hope. So the association of hope and an anchor actually comes from the Bible, from the book of Hebrews, a line that says, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul. For me, hope really does truly anchor my soul, because my hope is alive and beautiful and real when it moves me to act, to make my vision for a better world come alive. Because I know what many of you are probably thinking right now. Hope? Hope alone is not enough. Hope? Hope died a few years ago. Haven't you been looking at the news recently? And there it is. It really does not take very long for most of our minds to go there these days. And that's hope to despair in 200 words or less, just in case you were wondering. But at least my tattoo is permanent, because hope maybe not so much right now. And the truth is that there is a lot. There is so much going on in our world, in our country, in our communities, in our own communities, that we should be deeply concerned about. But I want to remind us that this moment in time is not the first moment in history that people of conscience have looked at the pain and injustice in the world and been scared, been horrified, and yes, been righteously outraged and angry about what's going on. But remember, racism, fascism, sexism, and all other forms of systematic oppression were not invented during our current political season. Tyrants and oligarchs have been oppressing people and exploiting our Earth's resources since pretty much the dawn of human civilization. Hatred and violence, human arrogance are not new forces on the global stage. We only need to take a look at a history book, or better yet, look to the lived experiences of people of color, immigrants, queer and trans people, living and struggling in our own communities today. They will tell us, I think, that while this new political era has emboldened those with hate-filled hearts, it did not create hatred or violence or corruption. The truth is, it's a privilege to think that our world has suddenly been broken and fallen apart, when for so many people throughout time, it was never truly whole. But here we are, together and breathing and alive. And please do not forget to draw breath and know that you are alive. And with each breath, we draw new hope and new life, because we breathe our world into being. Because what's the thing that has held this world together throughout history despite its brokenness? Hope. Hope. More precisely, I think, and I want to remind us, the legacy that we carry, the legacy of hope that has been passed down to us through the generations called onto being in each generation called on through the words and deeds of courageous and prophetic and visionary people. People who looked at the pain and the suffering in their world in their own time and called on all of us to do better. And these voices have arisen in every generation. 2,000 years ago, we need to go back 2,000 years ago to the ancient Israelites while they were living in exile from their own home, driven out by violence and war, after years of being oppressed by slaves. A group of prophetic people recorded the story of a prophet named Moses who would lead his own people towards a promised land of peace, a promised land of peace. And he entreated his people to choose life and love despite their despair. And other prophets of that time entreated their own people to treat the strangers amongst them with love and compassion, lest they forget their own oppression. The early Christians recorded the story of a prophet named Jesus, who encouraged the Jews in exile to treat their neighbors and their enemies with love during another time of empire and violence. All of these ancient prophets preach a story of hope and love and spoke of this coming kingdom of peace and prosperity and justice for all. But here's the thing, and that I don't want us to forget. None of them lived to see this vision of a peaceable kingdom or a promised land come to full fruition. 170 years ago in our own country, another prophet named Harriet Tubman, inspired by the stories of enslaved people, of the enslaved Israelites for quest for freedom, led her own people on the quest for freedom from slavery, only to witness the beginning of Jim Crow and sharecropping, which effectively kept slavery alive. And 50 years ago, a story of another prophet that we all know, a man named Martin Luther King Jr., inspired by the same legacy, called on Americans to defeat the triple evils of militarism, capitalism, and racism here in the U.S. So what do all of these prophets have in common? Three things. So first, they all spoke with courage and righteous anger to the pain and suffering they saw in their times. Second, they spoke clearly and powerfully their visions of hope, visions that still inspire us today, that I am still talking to you about today, because I think it is worth hearing. But third, and again, this is the most important part that we have to remember in our own struggle, none of them lived to see their visions for the promised land come to full fulfillment. All of these visions of hope, all of these visions of hope that we have inherited are incomplete visions. They've been met with successes, failures, only to see the pendulum swing from success later to failure towards hatred. But here's the thing. All of these visions, they amount not to the fulfillment of the promised land, but rather I want us to remember to the promised land in progress, okay? So many of us have our own moments of prophetic vision from time to time when we look at the pain and suffering in our world. And many of us have been struggling for our entire lives, for the greater part of our entire lives, to make our vision become a reality. Yet we may never live to see our vision for the promised land come to life fully. But we will live to see our vision in progress. And that's just it. Our vision is in progress, my friends. It is uncertain, and unfulfilled, but our promise is in progress. So I ask you, what happens if we stop thinking of our vision for a better world, for a promised land, as a destination, but as a promise in progress? An ongoing process of commitment and hope that we dedicate ourselves to through our work. An ongoing and, yes, imperfect process with twists and turns and setbacks and, yes, yes, the occasional victory. To do this, I think that we need to continue to develop and speak our hope-filled visions for each other so that we don't forget them. We must hold them in our minds and never forget them, never forget what we are working for. But most importantly, we have to go out and make them so through our actions. And we must not be afraid to enter into that hard work and know that this is a generations-long process that passes from each generation to generation. We must recognize, like the prophets, that we might never live to see the promise come to fulfillment. But hope tells us that through our actions, through our loving actions for justice and peace, you are the living, breathing, promised land becoming itself. You are the living, breathing, promised land becoming itself through your actions for love and justice and beauty. And I will not promise you that this is an easy process and that victories will feel steady and linear and secure all the time. Or that sometimes it won't feel like you are taking 2 steps forward only to have to take 10 steps back. So while hope can sustain our vision, I think, for me, I know that it helps to be anchored in something. Anchored in something that sits deep in my body, that I know in my whole body. So I want to ask you this morning, what is the thing that anchors your vision for hope in your body, in your soul, that makes you feel a sense of deep, deep urgency to act and to make our world better, that lets you know that hope is, yes, possible? I will tell you what mine is. It's my 3-month-old daughter. When I look at her, I cannot think about the world that she will inherit because of both my actions and inactions. When I look at her beautiful face smiling back at me, I wonder how I will answer to her as she grows older and she begins to ask me questions about the pain and suffering in the world. When she asks me how I, as a minister, who professes to lead with love, have responded to the hatred and violence in our society. What am I doing right now to make sure that her agency over her own body will remain protected? When I think of taking her to the ocean for the first time for her first swim, I wonder what I'll say when eventually she asks me what I did to make sure that our waterways remain clean enough to swim in and sustain marine life. When she's old enough for me to share my favorite recipe for flourless chocolate torte, I wonder what I will say to her when she asks me how I work to preserve the rights of the people who harvest the chocolate today, and how I work to preserve the land and the climate that makes growing it possible. And when she learns American history in high school, I wonder what she will say to me when she asks how I could have been part of a society that separated children from their families and locked them away in cages when they were only trying to look for a better life. What will I say to her? I know that I will have to answer to her someday, like many of us will to future and even present generations and ourselves. So how can I not be moved to make myself accountable right now? Her future, our future, rests in my hands, in our hands. And this sense of responsibility does anchor my hope. Because I cannot imagine giving her future and our future anything but my all. Even if my all will never be quite good enough. Even if. So I want to ask you, what is the thing that anchors your hope? And I want to invite you to join me in an embodied ritual meditation to try and find that for yourself. And we did a brief version of it earlier, but it is so important that we need to practice these things more than once before they sort of take hold in our body. So I want to invite you to take one moment to remember and to breathe. And to remember that you are alive. Breathe, and remember that with each breath you breathe our future into being. So I invite you to picture in your mind, to think of something that fills you with both a sense of urgency and hope. It could be a person, a group of people, or an animal, some other sentient being that fills your life with joy by its presence in your life, whose future moves you to leave the world a better place than you found it. The thing you picture in your mind could also be, it could be a right that you cherish, like marriage equality or agency over your own body, or the right to live the gender that you know yourself to be. Something that you have in your life that makes you feel loved and valued and accepted for who you are. Or it could be a beautiful place in nature where you find peace that you want to see preserved for future generations. So I invite you to picture this person or animal or place or right in your mind. And I ask you, how does it feel to have this thing or be with this person or animal or appreciate this place? Feel the joy and the love and the peace that it brings you. And now breathe into that joy Allow that peace to calm your body. Allow it to warm your heart. And I invite you to place your hand over your heart and to continue to feel and to connect with the love and the peace and the joy flowing through your heart. Flowing through your body. And just continue feeling that and breathing into it with your hand on your heart. So my friends, when you go from here and you enter back into the world with all of its brokenness and its pain, when your heart begins to break at what you see, when the enormity of the world's grief begins to wash over you, remember to stop and to put your hand over your heart. And remember what it is or who it is that you are working for. And breathe and live into that joy and hope and love that sits deep in your heart and your body. And as you do, know that others are living and breathing and loving. With you. So please, my friends, know that your actions do not have to be perfect, that you may not live to see your grand idealistic dreams come to fruition, but please dream them anyway and share your dreams with new generations. You might be afraid to try because you think that your impact would not be enough, but remember, it is enough. But don't stop there. Keep going. As long as you have breath, keep breathing and keep dreaming. And I promise that I will be breathing and dreaming and loving right alongside you wherever I may be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.